ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into combat sports. And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
But he has a shock in store for him. He has two great chances, slim and none, and slim's out of town.
Pedro Fernandez.
I wanted to do the right thing.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million-dollar sports byline HQ in the city by the bay, San Francisco, California. Check it. This is Ring Talk. Often imitated but never duplicated, 37-plus years now of being your inside look into the world of boxing and mixed martial arts. Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, wherever you happen to be listening to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Worldwide, what's happening? My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your host. We're going to talk boxing, of course, primarily today because the MMA world is sort of gone on hiatus. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. But, of course, the MMA world and the UFC are hurting for stars. But tonight, Danny Garcia. That's right, Danny Garcia, not Mikey Garcia. That's right, Errol Spence's last opponent was Mikey Garcia. You might get confused. They're not related, but Errol Spence always wants to beat up on guys that are smaller than him and named Garcia. In this case, it's Danny Garcia, the former junior welterweight champion, moving up to 147 pounds and taking on Spence, of course, undefeated, the kid from Dallas, Texas, having been thrown out of a car at 115 miles per hour, of course, in last December 2019. There were severe injuries. I think he's damaged goods, but we'll see what happens when he steps in the ring. And, of course, pay-per-view, him and Danny Garcia coming to you live, I think, from Dallas, Texas, of course, only on pay-per-view. Premier Boxing Champions, want to mention them. And, of course, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Last week, Billy Joe Saunders walked through Martin Murray. Of course, Martin Murray's like 39-6. Five of those six losses have been the world title attempts. The guys like the David Vedder of the 2000s. Straight up, I'll talk about David Vedder a little bit more in the show. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Coming up, the PhD of boxing, Mr. Socrates Palmer. We'll hear from both Danny Garcia and Errol Spence. And, of course, Tyson and Jones. The debacle, 1 week later. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. It was 1973. I'm working at the San Francisco Barber College on 6th Street, down, of course, in the Wino area of town. Now it's a step up, but the bottom line is it was sort of Skid Row back in the day. So I'm working there because my uncle owned the barber college. Of course, later I would become a barber for a couple of years prior to joining the police department. But anyway, so I'm working there as a cashier and cleaning the place up, this and that, and guess who walks in? But then United States heavyweight wrestling champion Pat Patterson with his blonde bleached hair and the whole nine yards. I was like blown away. I was like 15 years old going, whoa, it's Pat Patterson. Holy cow. So anyway, Pat Patterson comes in. He's with this guy named his husband for like, I don't know, like 40 years they were together. 40 years together. His name was Louis Mondavo, I believe, off the top of my head. Anyway, the bottom line is, Louis was a barber, and he was looking to bring some recruits or recruit some, apprentices to, you know, to sign into his new shop. He was opening up a new shop. And of course, Pat Patterson was the money behind that. And of course, Louis was a smart, smart businessman. No doubt about that. But Pat, of course, went on from San Francisco into Cow Palace. That's where it all sort of started for him. He was the headliner out here with people like Ray Stevens and Rocky Johnson, Rocky Soul Man Johnson, the father, of course, The Rock, Dwayne Johnson. And Pepper Gomez and people like that, and Moondog Man. But the bottom line is Pat Patterson, he was probably the best worker of the 1970s. When I say the best worker, he could make me look good. He could make Scott Cuddy look good in a ring. I mean, he was just one of those guys that can make the other guy look good and made it all believable. Anyway, he moves on to New York, signs with Vince McMahon, of course, has an epic battle, and it was a pretty good battle for a wrestling match. I'm telling you, that street fight he had with Sergeant Slaughter, that was like, yikes, oh, pretty close, as close to the real deal as you're ever going to get in a professional wrestling match. Anyway, that and his intercontinental title claim, of course, in New York City under the WWE or the WWF banner back in the day. Anyway, the bottom line is he retired several years ago, I think in the 80s, and of course he went on to work for the WWE for a long time, was involved in that Ring Boy scandal. But, you know, I remember him when he told me like this. He says to me, hey, do you got a girlfriend? And I'm saying, huh? I said, now get this. He goes, yeah, you got a girlfriend? I said, not now. Why? Something like that. But he asked me. I mean, why would he ask me if I had a girlfriend? Well, it turns out later, I realized then, the bleach blonde hair, the fact that he was with Louie and this stuff, he was gay. And it was sort of tough to tell anybody, because when I went out to the neighborhood, back to the hood, and I tried to explain this to guys, they looked at me like I was out of my mind. I'm serious. I mean, like I was tarnishing the image of Pat Patterson. I said, I'm not tarnishing his image. He's gay. And they're going to me, you're full of spit. Anyway, of course, the big movie comes out later and does a movie for the WWE. Yeah, I was gay for a long time and nobody knew it. Everybody knew it in San Francisco. And of course, he lived out on 32nd Avenue, 32nd and Lawton, I believe, here in the Avenue. Straight up, him and Louie, may they both rest in peace as Pat Patterson passed away this week at the age of 79. Now, we take it from Pat Patterson, we take it and keep it in the Big Apple. Of course, we'll talk about the Bronx. We bring in the Bronx Bomber, Mr. Socrates Palmer himself. And Sock, how the heck are you today?
I'm doing fine, Pedro. How are you feeling?
I'm pretty good. Of course, we are just a few hours away from Danny Garcia and Earl Spence. The $64,000 question is Earl Spence really, I mean, is Earl Spence just, is he looking to beat up on another Garcia?
Ladies and gentlemen, the time has come for the official weigh-in for the main event of the evening as Premier Boxing Champions presents the highly anticipated showdown between two of the best fighters in the world for the unified WBC and IBF welterweight championship of the world. This fight is promoted by TGB Promotions, Mandown Promotions, and DSG Promotions. And here is the challenger from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, the renowned two-division champion of the world, Danny Swift Garcia. And now introducing the defending world, a champion from Dallas, Texas, the undefeated, reigning and defending WBC and IBF welterweight champion of the world, the Truth, Errol Spence Jr. All right, fans, here we go. Let's bring our main event fighters to the scale. Weight limit on this fight, 147 pounds. First, the challenger, seeking to regain the welterweight crown in his 10th world title appearance, the former two-division world champion, Danny Swift Garcia. 146 3/4 pounds, 146 and three quarters for the challenger, Danny Swift Garcia. And now, one of the stars of boxing today, in his fifth world title defense, the undefeated WBC and IBF welterweight champion of the world, the Truth, Errol Spence Jr. £146.5 for the defending champion. We have a fight for the WBC and IBF welterweight championship of the world.
Two pros, Sean, both make weight. How much respect do you have, first of all, for the fact that Errol is going back in against competition as elite as Danny is?
I have all the respect in the world for him getting back in the ring. And then obviously taking on the challenge in Danny Garcia right off the bat is, he's trying to show how special he is.
There they are, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Fox Sports PBC pay-per-view main event of the evening. The Truth, Errol Spence Jr. versus Danny Swift Garcia for the unified WBC and IBF welterweight championship of the world.
All right, we are joined alongside by Danny Swift Garcia from Philadelphia, PA. Danny, what did you take away from that final stare down with Errol Spence Jr.?
You know, it's time to go. You know, the wait is done. The hard work is done. Now it's time to fight. It's time to eat and fight.
How is it going down tomorrow night on Fox Sports PBC pay-per-view against Errol Spence Jr.?
You know, I'm bringing my A game. You know, I'm hungry. I feel great physically, mentally, and now it's time to go.
Good luck tomorrow, Danny.
Thank you.
Danny Swift Garcia joining us, and now I will come over to the unified welterweight champion of the world from right here in the Dallas area, Errol "The Truth" Spence Jr., who has an undefeated record. Errol, the last time we saw you inside the ring was over 14 months ago. You've been through a lot during the course of that year plus. How are you feeling just one day away until your matchup at AT&T Stadium?
I feel great. Been training hard, been 100% focused. I'm ready to go come tomorrow night.
A win over Danny Garcia tomorrow night on pay-per-view does what for your legacy?
I mean, he's a great champion, so beating somebody like Danny Garcia means a lot, but I'm not thinking about my legacy. I'm thinking about my career, and I feel like me just beating him and after my accident and beating the guy with that type of level and his type of stuff that he achieved, I think it'd just be great.
Well, good luck tomorrow, Errol.
Thank you.
You know, if I was beating featherweights and guys that, like, naturally weighed 10 pounds or 15 or maybe even with 20 pounds less than me, I don't think I would be getting accolades, but yet Errol Spence is getting accolades. Last time out, he took on Mikey Garcia. Of course, Mikey Garcia a lot smaller than Danny Garcia, but he was a lightweight. Now he's taking on Danny Garcia, who's a junior welterweight. I think it's because he doesn't want to go in too deep because of the fact he got in this car accident last December. Sock, is this a safe fight for him? Is that essentially a safe fight? Does it sound like a safe fight?
No, I don't think it's a safe fight. I think Danny Garcia is a very credible opponent.
Okay.
You know, kudos for his camp, putting him in against a live person. They could easily taken one of their trial horses from PBC, who's also fighting on the card, Josecito Lopez, somebody like that. You know, I give him credit. And as far as, you know, in the press conference, in the weigh-in yesterday, they were talking about legacy. Danny Garcia's legacy to me is on the line because Danny's had a really nice career. I mean, a career that a lot of fighters would sign up for in a heartbeat. Two-time world champion. And he's made some money, and more importantly, he's kept most of his money, from what I understand.
And he's never been hurt.
Never taken a beating. And the only time he really kind of underperformed against a fighter that he wasn't supposed to struggle against was Mauricio Herrera, and he got booed out of Puerto Rico, and he hasn't fought there ever since. Since then, it's been Danny has, how can I say it? He's almost been content to go the distance. I haven't seen that hunger since when he took care of Lucas Matisse in a fight going in. That Matisse was a monster. He was beating everybody, and
yep,
he was an underdog. And he shut Matisse's eye up, dropped him, and won an easy decision. Does Danny Garcia, is he happy, you know, in the silk pajamas that he's wearing? Or does he want to stamp himself into Canastota? I think if he beats Errol Spence, it does a lot for him. It's a winnable fight. As we've said this months ago, Pedro, we don't know what kind of shape Errol Spence's body's in. You know, he looked great, you know, but I don't know. I find it odd. The weigh-in was kind of early, about 1 o'clock. You know, here in New York, it's normally at 3. I'm not certain what the protocol is in Texas. You know, maybe there's a reason behind that.
There is no protocol in Texas. There never has been. What are you talking about?
Are you questioning?
Do you remember the time they couldn't drug test Julio Cesar Chavez because they couldn't find a cup? Do you remember that one? They go, yeah, we didn't do a post-fight drug test because we didn't have a cup available. That was the Texas Athletic Commission statement.
Wow. Yeah, that's who's the is the commission? I forgot the guy's name.
Dickie Coles. Dickie Coles retired.
Right.
Dick Coles retired. Of course, his son Lawrence Cole. Don't call him Larry. You want to see a guy get mad? Call him Larry. Call Lawrence Cole Larry. I'm telling you, his hair will stand up on end. Anyway, those are the Cole family. Dickie Cole, of course, still alive and well down there in Texas. The Athletic Commission director there for about 20 years. He did some good things. Good guy. I love being around him at the WBC conventions around the world and that kind of good stuff. But Dickie had his own rules. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. We're back with boxing's PhD, Soccer News Palmer, after the break.
We don't back down from nobody.
Hold on.
We can take it in the street if you want to.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
You think you won the fight?
Yeah, but I'm good with a draw.
Why?
Because I entertained the crowd. The crowd was happy with it.
1.25 million people paid $49 or $50 to watch Mike Tyson and Roy Jones do an exhibition last week. What can I say? Is there a sucker born every minute? There was last Saturday night because I didn't think it was worth $49.99. I watched a little bit later on YouTube and I didn't see the entertainment value. Although I understand how some people can be looking back and reaching back because I'm always reaching back. I'm always listening to old music, that kind of good stuff. So I'm a throwback. I'm a reach back. What did you take from last week's exhibition, Mr. Socrates Palmer?
I think you said it best. It was a trip down memory lane. You know, I'll be honest with you. I enjoyed it. I thought that the undercards were pretty good. And just the event of seeing Mike Tyson in a ring. I mean, I'm 43, so it was a piece of my childhood. Roy Jones, you know, his body has seen better days, but we all know Roy's not a heavyweight. You know, it's funny. At one point, I mean, I would do sit-ups with a poster from KO Magazine looking at Roy Jones. Like, that to me, I thought that was the perfect body, especially for my height, ripped at 168. You know, sign me up, man. And I never got to it, but, you know, that was what I was aspiring to be. I thought it was fun. I had no problem with it.
You know what they used to call a Mexican heavyweight about 15 years ago?
A fat middleweight?
Exactly. And that's what Roy Jones was, a fat middleweight. So give Jones some props. I mean, here's what's up. I thought that Tyson was going to go out there and be an animal. But he smoked some weed before the fight or before the exhibition, which is really cool. It mellowed him out. Cuddy got all freaked out about that. Goes, oh, he couldn't believe it. He smoked weed before. I couldn't believe it. Well, it was an exhibition. He didn't have to take a drug test. This wasn't a real fight. This was like a show. And he put on a show, and he and Roy Jones put on a show, of course. Who was this guy on the undercard? This guy, Jake Paul. Talk to me about this YouTube thing, because other people are talking about him.
I just found out about the Paul brothers earlier in the year. They are YouTube huge. They are content creators, as is the buzzword. They have become famous. They're almost like the male version of the Kardashians. And poor Nate Robinson, former New York Knick, he became food for the internet trolls. Oh my goodness. And, you know, I give Nate Robinson a lot of credit, you know, for putting on the gloves, you know, and not everyone would do that. And, you know, he paid the price and he is now, a meme.
How can I put this? He must have realized that, you know, like Marvin Gaye. I don't know if I told you a story of Marvin Gaye. Marvin Gaye was smoking weed in Detroit and having a good time and hanging around Motown and then going downtown to various gyms. And Emmanuel Stewart saw him in the 60s. And he was smoking weed in the gym. And he said he wanted to become a heavyweight contender or a middleweight contender. He wasn't sure whether he was in challenge for the heavyweight championship or the middleweight championship. This is Marvin Gaye. So anyway, Marvin gets in there sparring, and some dude puts Marvin to sleep. And I mean, exactly. Like 10 minutes later, he wakes up, man. Like, well, where am I? You're in Motown. Bottom line is, that was the end of Marvin Gaye's career. And I think that's the end of Nate Robinson's career. Another athlete who thought that boxing was just training.
Yeah, bro. It's a lot different, you know, when they're hitting you back, you know. I've seen a lot of guys that look excellent hitting the punching bag and pad work, but, you know, and I heard Teddy Atlas say earlier in the week, It's really about being cool under pressure and controlling your nerves, because you saw the way he fought. You know, he rushed in. He didn't know how to react when someone hit him back. And that's like anything, even like street confrontation. The guy that's cool and comfortable, you know, fighting is going to normally win, you know, because the biggest opponent you have is yourself at the end of the day. Because, I mean, in a one-on-one situation, unless you're stupid enough to get into an altercation with a trained killer, I've never seen a man eat another man, you know? So once you conquer that fear, everything else kind of just, okay, it's either who wants it more. And unfortunately, Nate wasn't able to
have that balance, and of course the skill wasn't there. And
yeah, well, we got hit. On, he got hit on the point of the, you know, I mean, he got knocked out. It was no doubt about it. But I'll tell you about that street fight stuff. You gotta know when to pick your shots. You gotta know when to, obviously, you know, you don't pick on a killer and things like that, but you gotta know when to pick, you gotta know when to pick your shots. And I mean, I was always of the opinion, even when I was a cop and I got into a rumble with these bigger guys, these Samoan guys, I would just hang on to them for like 60 seconds. Miss that, maybe 35 or 40 seconds, and they would be so gassed out, it was over.
I mean, most street fights end that way, you know. I mean, brawling and stuff, and just keeping cool.
Just keeping, man. I remember one time some guy was throwing, it was a woman. She threw me through some sheetrock. You know how a wall is sheetrock? She threw me through some sheetrock. My shoulder, she threw me so hard. The Samoan lady threw me so hard out on 47th Avenue in San Francisco. She threw me so hard into a wall that my shoulder went in and cracked the sheetrock, put a hole in it.
Shoot.
Yeah, I was arrested. Wow. She called me. She was all bloody. She called me. They were arresting her husband for domestic violence, and we were arresting him. So when I went to put the cuffs on him, I needed two pairs of cuffs because the guy's, you know, it was so big, right? So I'm going to get the second pair of handcuffs, and then she realizes her man is going to jail, and then she takes it out on me, man. And there was and I don't want to knock female cops, but I'm gonna at this point in time, because there was a female policeman standing there with me, and she did nothing. She did nothing.
Close up.
She did she did nothing. I don't want to mention her name, but she did absolutely nothing. She froze up on me. It was horrible. And I told her, shoot her! That's what I told her, shoot her! Because, you know, this lady threw me into the wall, was drugged. I mean, this was crazy. She did nothing. She didn't even call for backup. Anyway, that's a story for another day. Back to the Pat Patterson thing. Could you see how I was conflicted there, knowing that Pat was gay, and then I was going to see him at the Cow Palace, and my friends were thinking he's the toughest guy in the world, and he was the toughest guy because he was wrestling and this kind of stuff. But you see where I was sort of conflicted there?
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, wrestlers are the closest thing to real life superheroes that we have, you know, and especially when you're younger. Yeah, I mean, it's, and then to kind of say that you were naive, maybe in a little awestruck, is it safe to say?
Mm-hmm.
And then to have that conversation with your boys, you know, that somebody was asking, maybe checking you out.
I thought it was a little unusual. He asked me if I had a girlfriend. I'll never forget where he was sitting, the whole nine yards, that kind of good stuff. And I was like 13, 14 years old. I mean, why is this guy asking me if I have a girlfriend? And that's what I was trying to see. You know, anyway, bottom line was, I figured it out later, him and Louie and this kind of stuff. But may he rest in peace. He was a great worker. He was one of the great workers. He's the guy that came up with the Royal Rumble. People think the Royal Rumble was a Vince McMahon idea, but it was actually the 18-man Battle Royal put together by Roy Shire out here in San Francisco that Patterson developed the idea off of.
Interesting. That I didn't know about the origin of it, but I mean, yeah, I mean, battle royals were always around. Pat Patterson's a legend, man, and he really was Vince's right hand man, and from everything I hear and read, he helped develop storylines, and just was a Vince's soundboard.
But let's be honest. Time out, Sock, before I let you go. We also got to mention the fact that he was involved in that sexual ring boy scandal where he was telling those boys to do this to him and they was doing this to those boys and that kind of good stuff, and that wasn't cool.
Not at all. It's amazing. I mean, and he still hung around. I mean, that happened, about 20 years ago, and he still had a job with WWE up until, a year ago, 2 years ago?
Sock, that's so. Because he had pictures of Vince McMahon. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Socrates Palmer, have a great weekend. I thank you so much for your presence here each week. Thank you, my brother.
Thank you for the platform. All the best. Have a great weekend.
The one, the only, boxing's true PhD, Mr. Socrates Palmer on Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Next up, we're talking mixed martial arts and boxing, of course, on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. And I wouldn't be told. I belong gone, and I wouldn't be doggone. I belong gone. Mm-hmm. We're playing this song for our house historian, Billo. Today you're celebrating 6 years of being clean. I'm talking about being sober. Right on, he walks like a man. I'm talking about our house historian, Billo. Straight Up Bill O'Toole on December 5th, 1947. In New York City, Joe Louis beat Jersey Joe Walcott, retained the world heavyweight title over 15 rounds. 1949, Ike Williams, of course, beat Frankie Dawson, retains the world lightweight title. That was in Philadelphia. Mike Tyson. Wow, Mike Tyson. Holy cow. We'll never, oh, Mike Tyson, we're going to say, the exhibition last week, he's going to try to do it again. And I'm against that. I don't think we should be having the Mike Tyson show all over the world. I really don't. I mean, if he wants to do it and just go make private appearances, that's sort of cool. But as far as a pay-per-view ripoff is concerned, I don't think people should pay for it again and again and again and again. Because the obvious thing here is they're going to build to a Mike Tyson and Vander Holyfield exhibition. That's what this is going to build to. There's absolutely no doubt in my mind it's going to build to that. And, of course, do we really want to see those guys duke it out? Because they're not going to duke it out for real. You saw the way that Mike Tyson played that exhibition thing the other day. I mean, I thought he was going to come out like a killer and try to eat Roy Jones for breakfast. Of course, like eat one of his, you know, like you talk about eating your children and that kind of good stuff. Talk about Lennox Lewis eating Lennox Lewis's children. I thought he would come out and like be an animal, but he got mellow, smoked some weed beforehand, went out there and, you know, just played around with Roy Jones. I thought that for the most part that Mike Tyson was controlled at 8-round exhibition, but that's because he was a heavier guy and the naturally bigger guy, of course, coming in looking pretty good. But then again, I'm over the opinion that he was taking Flintstone vitamins for this. When I say Flintstone vitamins, of course, I'm thinking about maybe a little bit of testosterone and maybe a little bit of human growth hormone, stuff like that. Why do I say that? Because he was able to roll back the clock. I mean, physically, he looks a lot younger than he does 53 years old. But give him props. He looked pretty good. Roy Jones, of course, came in with a bit of a midlife crisis as far as his belly was starting to look all that good. Of course, weighed in close to around 210 pounds. At the end of the day, Roy went the distance. Roy made some money. Roy didn't get hurt. And, of course, I guess that's the good thing about it. Roy didn't get hurt. Kansas City, 1975, double attraction. Wow. Alfonso Zamora beat Socrates Batalo. Retains the WBA bantamweight title. Socrates, that one was for you. But the bottom line is he beat Socrates Batalo on this day in 1975. Wow, holy cow. Zamora was probably one of the most exciting fighters there ever was. When you talk about the Battle of Z-Boys, of course, when they hooked it up down there in L.A., there was just no better fighter, of course, at that one point in time than Alfonso Zamora. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing. 1985, I want to mention this. Donald Curry cut down Milton McCoury. Milton McCoury, man, I was there. That was one hell of a fight, no doubt about that. But it happened real quick. I think he did it in a couple of rounds. Of course, the same arena where Donald Curry would get knocked out by Mike McCallum. Everybody said, oh, yeah. Mike McCallum, he's going to be chalk for Donald Curry. I said, no, I don't think so. I brought my whole family down there. Ex-wife, the whole nine yards, we all went. Of course, the fight was indoors at Caesar's Palace. My stepfather, Grandpa was there, Grandpa Ramirez, and we had a great time. And I said to him, bet the house on McCallum. He's telling me, you want me to bet on a 3-1 underdog? I said, bet on McCallum. So the money went down to 2.5-1 on McCallum. McCallum won by like a 7th round knockout. But Mike McCallum, one of the most underrated fighters in the history of boxing, no doubt about that. A guy that won titles at 154. Hearns didn't want to fight him. You never heard Leonard wanting to fight him. I'm telling you, this was the guy that was ducked. Absolutely no doubt about it. Mike McCallum, the body snatcher at one point in time, he was a member of the Kronk Gym in Detroit, Michigan. They knew better than to put him in with anybody that was, you know, like Tommy Herndon. Didn't happen. Sugar Ray Leonard didn't happen. Roberto Duran didn't want no part of him. I mean, come on. Marvin Hagler didn't even want any part of him. Nobody wanted any part of the body snatcher Mike McCallum. Of course, he would eventually lose at 175 pounds, I think, to James Toney. And, of course, that was a bit of a questionable loss. But he was a guy from 154 to 175, the body snatcher rule. Now, let's get to the world of mixed martial arts. Not a whole lot happened in the world of UFC. Of course, UFC rocking and rolling last week. Ho-hum, because there's no names anymore. They don't have any names anymore. The rest of the year is sort of like Joe Blow versus Jane Blow, if it would happen. Anyway, Anthony Smith beat Delvin Clark with a submission triangle choke in the main event. Of course, that was promoted to the main event when the main event fell out. It was the main event, of course, with heavyweights, but one of the guys tested positive for COVID-19, and that was the end of that. Now, tonight on ESPN as well, December 5th, of course, this is the big day, as I said, Bill Ellisman's clean 6 years. We're going to celebrate that. And, of course, this is also the birthday of a couple of people that I know. And I want to mention that. Happy birthday to the people I know and listen to the show. But Jack Hermanson's in the main event tonight, coming to you from Las Vegas against Marvin Vettin. Of course, this is going to go down on ESPN. Ovince St. Preux, a former light heavyweight title challenger, now in a catchweight fight, 207.5 pounds, against Jamahal Hill. I guess they're going to hook it up there at a catchweight, the lightweight. Triple Gabriel Benitez going to take on Justin Jaynes. Outside of that, no more names on the card. I mean, absolutely no names on the card because they've run out of names. I mean, let me tell you how hurting the UFC is. The UFC, a fortnight ago, this guy Delvin Figueroa defended the flyweight championship. Of course, the flyweight championship happened to go to him after Henry Cejudo. Henry Cejudo basically told the UFC to, you know, go stuff it because the UFC wasn't paying Henry any kind of money. I keep telling you that the UFC is the biggest pimp in MMA. That's my opinion. I want to get sued, but that's the way I feel. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Those guys are greedy. The people that run that corporation, now it's a corporation, of course, bought $4.2 billion, $4,200 million is what the price went for last year, a year and a half ago. I don't think it's worth that. I don't think it'll return any type of investment for them, but the people that bought it seem to be happy. They're not moaning or griping as far as their investment's concerned, but straight up, they don't have any names. I mean, they're going to look to bring back Conor McGregor maybe against Dustin Poirier in another fight. Who wants to see that guys fight again? They fought once. I don't want to see him fight again. There's nothing going to change the second time again unless Conor McGregor's not in good shape. And, of course, Conor, one of those guys like, maybe he's the Roberto Duran of MMA in that he's not in great shape two fights in a row. Sometimes he's in fantastic condition. Sometimes he's not in fantastic condition. Of course, he was gassing against Nate Diaz, and he came back and looked a lot better in the rematch. At the end of the day, Conor McGregor is still a big star in the world of mixed martial arts, even though I think he's, you know, another guy that shot his wad, passed his peak, no doubt about that. Made that money with Floyd Mayweather, more power to him on that. But outside of that, what's he done lately? What have you done for me lately? Listen, I am a combat sports fan, okay? I want to know what you've done for me lately. Earl Spence hadn't done nothing for me lately. He better do something tonight. He's undefeated. He's a guy going into this fight like a 2.5 to 3 to 1 favorite. Danny Garcia moving up in weight. Of course, Garcia a bit economical when it comes to punching. That's probably going to be the difference. If Danny is, how can I say this, was willing to gamble a little bit more and throw a little bit more against a bigger guy, maybe I would, you know, I do all kinds of things to try to offset Earl Spence's advantages. Earl Spence is a great boxer. He's got the size on me. He's got the reach on me. Maybe he's probably even faster than me, okay? So I'm probably going to try to stay away from that right hand, move to his right, and then step on his foot and jump on him. Ooh, is that dirty? No. Just a little tactic there. I would step on that left foot and make him look down. Make him think about it just for a second, you know, make him think for a second. And then hit him in the body, the arms, just make some contact. With a guy like Earl Spence, much like Roy Jones in his prime, Sugar Ray Leonard, guys like that, you're not going to, Floyd Mayweather, you're not going to outbox him. Forget it. You're not going to outbox him. But you have to, if you can throw their rhythm off, you have a chance to defeat them. When you think about Roberto Duran defeating Ray Leonard the first time around, Ray couldn't go out there and box. Duran took it away from him. When you take that away from somebody and make them fight your way straight up, of course, that's imposing you, be it combat sports or mixed martial arts. And tonight, Danny Garcia, I wish the brother from Philadelphia really, I wish him the best, okay? I really do. I think he's got a good mind, good head on his shoulders. He and his father's got an attitude. I love the fact his father has an attitude. I think that more fathers should have attitudes like that when it comes to their kids. And he's taking good care of his kid as far as being a trainer, I think a manager, and of course, a father. I mean, they still live together. That's a little weird. That's still a little weird. I don't want to live with my dad when I'm like 32 years old. I don't think that's too cool. But outside of that, Danny's got it going on. Made a lot of money. Put it all in real estate. Of course, it's all went up. So Danny's looking real good. Danny doesn't have to fight anymore. But is it greed? Or is he going to take that crack at the gold ring one more time a little bit more seriously than he's taken his career in the past? We'll see what happens. Of course, tonight on pay-per-view from Las Vegas, and I think it's worth. I'm sort of hesitant as to whether I want to spend that kind of money to watch a pay-per-view, but I will go over to somebody's house and watch it. I just won't pay for it myself. So what I am recommending the pay-per-view tonight, of course, ending the year as far as the boxing world is concerned, a welterweight contest, two good fighters, no doubt about that. Earl Spence is supposed to roll. Now I'll say roll. He's supposed to beat Danny Garcia, but Danny's got some shots, of course, because of the fact that Earl Spence was tossed out of that car at 105 miles per hour. Did I mention the fact that he had a $10,000 handgun with him? A $10,000. What is somebody doing with it? Cuddy, what's somebody needing a $10,000 pistol for? $10,000. Didn't go out and buy himself a Derringer or anything like that. He went out and bought himself a $10,000 pistol, $125,000 car. He wrecks the car. I think he might have lost the pistol. Of course, he was driving under the influence and they get popped for that. But why the $10,000 pistol? That's the question nobody seems to ask of Errol Spence. Of course, let's talk about the heavyweights right now. We are just a few days away from Anthony Joshua, 2012 Olympic gold medalist. Of course, the once beaten fighter that lost to Auntie Louise. I mean, good Lord. He lost to Auntie Louise. You know what I'm talking about. Andy Ruiz. But Auntie Louise. I mean, he took the name from Johnny Ruiz. I used to give Johnny Ruiz that name. In fact, one time in a fight, I was yelling, Auntie Louise, Auntie Louise. And Johnny Ruiz stood up, waved. Oh, crap. I didn't know he was being clowned. Anyway, this is the new Auntie Louise. I'm talking about Andy Ruiz. That big fat dude, of course, that showed up at that fight. Showed up for training 317 pounds. There was pictures of him, on the internet where there was white powder on a table in front of him. I'm not trying to say it was cocaine, but it didn't look like salt to me. Okay, just put it in there. It wasn't pepper. It was a white powder. So at the end of the day, Andy just abused the crown. He abused himself. And of course, he lost so terribly. And they went over there to Saudi Arabia. He lost so terribly to Joshua in the rematch. I mean, showing up and weighing in at 283 pounds. Do you realize if he was in any other weight class, he would have been ruled unfit to box? Think about that. That's the exception to the heavyweight division I got a problem with. If he was in any other weight class, he would have been ruled unfit to box because he would have been so overweight. I mean, pound for pound, it would have been gross. Okay? 283 pounds would he weigh in. He should be arrested for that. Of course, now he's got Canelo. Canelo's going to be his guy as far as his mentor, his guiding light, and all that kind of good stuff. Good luck with that, pal. I think that Andy Louise or Auntie Louise, I think he'll be broken in about 10 years. He's one of those guys just going to blow up the money. Now, Canelo Alvarez, of course, what are they going to do with Canelo Alvarez? Is he going to fight Billy Joe Saunders, who was the winner last week? Of course, I mentioned that over Martin Murray. And I also mentioned David Vetter. David Vetter, of course, out of San Jose, California, he was 23-25. The reason why I bring him up, he fought in the 90s, is that he got 5 world title shots. And the reason why he got 5 different world title shots at 5 different times was that he couldn't win. You hear what I'm saying? That's sort of the way they did Martin Murray last week when they put him in with Billy Joe Saunders. Of course, Martin Murray, like 39-6, 5 of those 6 losses were in so-called world title fights. Anyway, now Billy Joe Saunders, the WBO 168-pound champion, has decided he's going to fight Canelo Alvarez. He's going to fight some guy named Parker. Or he's going to fight Demetrius Andrade. Of course, they need a super fight. Canelo needs a super fight. He is a super fighter. Of course, Calibrant Plant, they're going to hook that up. Of course, that's going to go on the 19th. Am I real excited about that? I'm excited to get Canelo back in the ring. I mean, he's in shape. He's been training. He's not like Roberto. Sorry, Roberto, but he's not like Roberto. He stays in shape year-round. I mean, he looks good. He looked good 2 months ago. He looked like he could fight like in a week. So when they announced his fight and he had 6 weeks to go and I saw some pictures of him, I said to myself, he's a dedicated young man. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, he brings a different vibe to Mexican boxing because, you know, guys like Julio Cesar Chavez, I don't know if you saw the latest Chavez Chronicles. He did them in Spanish, I believe. Somebody told me it might have even been on Netflix, but I saw it on YouTube where he's copying the fact he had all those cocaine problems. I mean, he said that he would spend days all alone snorting cocaine all by himself. Well, that's the way you do cocaine, I guess. At the end of the day, he got to clean himself up. His son, of course, had a coke issue. Speaking of Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., he was the winner last week. Fought a guy that was, okay. But at the end of the day, he's still Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., and he couldn't fight a lick if you wet his tongue. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Anytime I have to play taps on Ring Talk Live Worldwide, it's because somebody close to us has left the house, left the building. Of course, I'm talking about the Godfather sister. I'm talking Larry Merchant. Of course, his sister, Ellen Merchant, passed away this past week at the age of 83, 6 months after some surgery. Obviously, she didn't fully recover, but she was a strong woman. She was single. She did her own thing. She called her own shots, much like the female version of Larry Merchant. Just telling it like it is. That's the way Larry sort of described his sister to me. So may she rest in peace. But today our show is dedicated to Helen Merchant. Ellen Merchant. Why do I mess? I always mess up the Godfather's names. Anyway, Ellen Merchant, may she rest in peace. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look at the world of boxing, MMA, of course. We're just hours away from the Spence and Garcia pay-per-view showdown. Is it worth buying? I think it's worth buying. Of course, the WBC and IBF welterweight titles on the line. Outside of that, the UFC is going to rock and roll on ESPN. Of course, that's a pretty good way to go. Oleg Usyk definitely looks like he's out with the newest promoters. Of course, the guy that was a rage at cruiserweight as a boxer, undefeated, moved up to heavyweight and sort of became sort of average. Anyway, bottom line is he's going to leave K2 Promotions, of course, that was the Klitschko brothers. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, Saturday and Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific Time. We come to you live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, and Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Of course, live on 1,000 other internet platforms. But you can also catch us on iTunes, Google, anywhere you get your podcast. You can check out Ring Talk Worldwide, especially Anchor FM. At the end of the day, the executive producer is one, the only, Scott Cuddy. My name is Pedro Fernandez, and there's a million things you can be doing right now. But the fact you're listening to the Sports Byline Broadcast Network and Ring Talk Live Worldwide, well, I thank you from the bottom of my heart. Don't forget, our next show, Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific Time, live on Sports Byline. It's Ring Talk.